We are here in the beginning of January and close enough to the first that we're still thinking of the past year, thinking about the new year, some of the issues that have developed in our society, and issues and direction for the church. A passage of scripture we'll be looking at is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. That 2 Thessalonians 2:13, if you want to turn to that, we'll get into that in a moment. Now let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to give thanks to you. We want to give thanks to you, our Savior. And we want to give thanks to you, dear Holy Spirit, for the marvelous salvation we have received. And we want to honor you as we think of this new year. And we want to remain steadfast and steady and not be tempted to compromise our faith in any way. We pray that you'll use this message to that end, that will be honoring to you and helpful to all of us. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, we read, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions or the truths which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting comfort and good hope by grace, comfort your heart and establish you in every good word and work." The exhortation which grabs our attention is that because of God's calling, God's election, and God's gracious grace in salvation, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the truths which you've been taught in the scripture. Now this is the exhortation for the new year. This is our calling for the new year. Recently in a Bible class in a local college, I asked a young man in the class this question. What do you think is the most dangerous issue for the church in this coming year? Immediately he said, compromising. And I said, yea and amen. What a great answer that was. And so this exhortation is good for us. Hold fast and do not compromise with the world or with certain trends in the church. Now, we all understand that there are major, major problems in our country. Major sinful moral issues. And so we ask the question, what is the role of the church living in this kind of society and culture? Well, there are those prominent Christian leaders who emphasize that the church should be changing society, that we should be plunging in there, giving our attention, our direction, our energy and money into changing our society. They are very vocal. They are on television and they influence many lives. There are others, such as John MacArthur, who says, "The primary emphasis for the Christian and the church is to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all people. And you bring about change by changing the hearts of people, not by legislation." And so we need to decide what is our best role for us personally and for our churches. Now, I just want to list several issues that are in our country and our culture, perhaps with very, very little commentary, but just to run through them and remind us what's happening in this world. What are some of the moral issues? And these are not listed in importance, but here is the first one. The corruption of our children. With the mass media we have today and the news entering our home, we have our children being corrupted into amoral lifestyles. And this is also happening somewhat through our public education. There is the fact that children are being corrupted. Secondly, there is a homosexual issue, a great deal of it due to their agenda. They are not satisfied just to be in their lifestyle. They want to bring this into the life of other people. They want to teach our children and our young people that this is just a way of life that is fine and can be adopted. A third problem is the abortion problem. Now, some people state that the issue is the right of a woman to choose what to do with her body. Now, we agree with that. She can choose whether to wear makeup, whether to wear jewelry, or whether to go shopping every day, or what she wants there, that's fine. But the real issue is this: does she have the right to commit murder? Now, of course, those who favor abortion do not believe this is murder. But in our Christian faith, I believe the stance of most Christians is that life begins at conception. And that life which is in the womb of the mother is not just, quote, a fetus, but a life, a child. And so there is that great problem in our society today. Number four, there is an anti-family crusade that the government and the educational system ought to have more power and control over children and young people than the parents. The parents are being stripped of authority. This is a problem. There is the drug issue. Why are so many American people getting into a substance that tears up life, that ruins families, and is a terrible problem in our society? It's happening. And you have to think, why? Well, it's because they're looking for an escape. They are people who are afraid, people who are insecure, people who are looking for that, quote, high, and they take on the drug scene. This is a real issue in the country. Another issue is the matter of adultery. it's just taken for granted, whereas it used to be a crime. Now, how do we view our life in this society? Society, biblically, is totally depraved. So we should understand that this is the kind of behavior that will take place. Now, can we change it by legislation? Well, we can do some things. The purpose of the government is to protect the people and bring peace to the nation. We can do that through certain laws, for instance, capital punishment. Capital punishment is a biblical truth and does stem the tide of crime. So in our society, we have these list of things, and you could go on and on and on. This is by no means exhaustive. What I wanted to dwell on today is the issues in the church itself. What do we face, and how do we live in 2004 to build great churches? Well, let me list some of the issues, beginning with this one, which may be the most important. I call it theological bankruptcy. About a week ago, I was reading an article in the newspaper by a non-Christian who was assessing what had happened in our country in the past few years in various areas of life. And he got into the state and the church. Then he got into religion, and he made this observation that in the past few years, religion has flourished, religion has gained, but theology has become bankrupt. And I thought, oh my, what a insightful truth observation he has made here. Theologically bankrupt, I believe, is the condition of many of our churches today. We no longer have doctrinal truths being preached in the church. We have compromised theology into psychology. We have compromised doctrine into entertainment messages. We have compromised our behavior because we lack doctrinal truth. In fact, we could say we have lost God, the God of Isaiah, the God of the Psalms, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Sovereign Almighty Creator. We have lost the concept of the sovereignty of God. What a wonderful thing it would be if we would make this a New Year's hope and prayer that theological truth would be restored in the church, and there would be a change. The tide would change. There would be a return to the doctrines of the Bible and the truth about God. Now, associated with this theological bankruptcy is another issue in the church, which I call interfaith promotion. For instance, recently in our area, groups of people came together to talk about peace and other subjects. Jewish people, Muslim people, Hindu people, Buddhists, and people who were labeled Christians. And the upshot of it is that this is just wonderful. It is so nice what we're doing, and we're together there, and we're talking about peace. It all sounds so great. And many people are being deceived. And what is happening? For Christians to participate in those meetings, they are compromising our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only way. There is only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is Christ and Christ alone. And so we don't have other saviors. We just have one Savior. It is the Lord. We dare not compromise our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, closely associated with that is the problem of tolerance. Tolerance is the religion of our society. If you are tolerant and accepting, and you know, have no absolute of right or wrong, and everything is relative, then you are considered very spiritual, very intellectual, and that's the way to go. Now, this creeps into the church, creeps into our messages, and creeps into our behavior. This is an issue. Another issue is this idea of self-esteem. Every problem you have is because you don't have a good self-esteem. This is very popular. The Bible does not teach us that we are to have a good self-esteem. The Bible teaches us that we are to have a Christ esteem. If doctrine and theology are restored in the church, then people will once again know their position in Christ. They will once again know about unconditional perseverance and all the truths that go along with that. And we would not be worried about self. We would be very satisfied to be lost in Christ and give up our life for Him to live through us. This is a problem. Now, I want to suggest, more than a suggestion. This is a conviction. By the way, I heard about the New Liberal Church. The New Liberal Church has 3 commandments and 7 suggestions. So I'm not here to make suggestions or to present theories. I am here to proclaim truth based on the biblical record. And I want to state by conviction about what is our most strategic, vital mission field in the whole world. It is this. It is the youth of America. The young people of America are the most significant, vital, crucial mission field in the whole world. It's good that we have missions. The greatest mission field is here in America. Now, why do we say this? Well, in providential history of the world, God raised up the United States of America. And in this land, He planted wealth and treasure, and brought a group of people together who were willing to work hard and gained prosperity. And He brought together Christian people who founded colleges and seminaries and produce pastors who went out into the churches and taught the people the truth of God and the commission to go in all the world and preach the gospel. And so in the United States of America, missionaries went into all the world. And we became by far the leading nation in sending the gospel into all the world. Now, that needs to be carried on. But if we lose the youth of our nation to secularism and other religions, missions will cease. We dare not let that happen. In the book of Judges, there is a tragic statement. It says this: "There arose another generation which knew not the Lord." And I think of that in our country. Another generation which knew not the Lord means the corruption of our own country and means no missions into all the world. Well, these are some of the issues facing the church. Other which needs to be proclaimed is the fact of personal influence in the new year. We are people of influence. We are being influenced, and we influence others. It's just a fact of life. And the challenging thing for us this year will be, what kind of influence are we on the others around us? Influence leads to impact. Now, in my own personal experience, my father died when I was 9 or 10 years old. There are 4 boys and a girl in the family. My dear, wonderful Christian mother could not control the boys. We did what we wanted to do. We went where we wanted to go, and she could not stop it. And yet, although she could not control, she had great, great influence upon us. The 4 boys and the daughter, at one point in life, all became Christian. Now, it is God's doing. But in your life, you think about things. My mother didn't control me, but she greatly influenced me. And that influence led to impact. She made an impact on our lives that could not be denied. That by Christ living through us this year, we will have a great spiritual influence on those around us. And that influence will lead to an impact that will affect the direction of the lives. Now, where do we start? One time Jesus healed a young man and brought him to his senses, and the young man said to Jesus, "I want to follow you. I want to go with you. I want to be with you." You know what the Lord said to him? He said, "Go home. Go home and tell." Go home, Christian. and live out your testimony at home to be of influence and impact. Father, your mission field is at home. Mother, your mission field is at home. Young people, your mission field is home. You're in high school and college, and I ask you, what does your father think of your Christianity? What does your mother think of your Christianity? What do your brothers and sisters think of you and your Christianity and your spiritual life? Are you being a drag, or are you bearing good and great influence for the Lord? What a wonderful opportunity we have. What a mission. It's good to have a mission. It's great to have a purpose and to have a reason for life. Study the Word. Be in prayer for yourself and others around you. And let's face these things in the church this year, and by the grace of God, see the change that needs to take place. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are, for the perfection that is within you. Help us now in our weakness, in our inadequate faith, to be built up in the Word of God, to be able to stand fast and hold to the truth and not compromise at all, but to live for your glory. Cause us to be a good and great influence upon those around us, and to live for your glory. May Jesus Christ be praised.